This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. YouTube content creators are in a buzz lately about the enforcement of the Child Online Privacy Protection Act, or CAPA for short. Many creators feel the enforcement of the act will not only be the end of their channels, but also content creation freedom in general. Joining me to explain how this act will affect YouTube and why it's being enforced now is Peter McGee, senior attorney at FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protection. Thanks for joining me, Peter. Before we begin, I have to ask, what's it like to work at the FTC?
Well, I think it's a great agency to work for. We're tasked with protecting consumers and competition, and I think those are two fantastic goals. So I can't speak for everyone, but I certainly enjoy it.
So when is the Child Online Privacy Protection Act? When did that come into effect?
Congress enacted the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act in 1998, and the law became effective in early 2000 when the FTC issued its CAPA rule, which implements the law, and that allows the FTC to enforce it.
Wow, so it's been around for a really long time. Why is it in the news so much right now?
In part because the FTC announced two CAPA cases with record-breaking civil penalties this year. In February, we settled our case against Musical.ly, now called TikTok, for $5.7 million. In September, we resolved our case against YouTube and Google for a total of $170 million in monetary relief. I think given these large civil penalty amounts and the fact that both Musical.ly, TikTok, and YouTube are extremely popular services, the case has generated a lot of interest. But that being said, the FTC has aggressively enforced CAPA since its creation. We've brought over 30 cases and recovered millions of dollars in monetary relief, as well as conduct relief that's intended to protect children's privacy and bring violators into compliance with the law. The commission also engages in a great deal of CAPA outreach. We produce consumer and business educational materials, and commission staff participate in workshops and other events intended to inform stakeholders about the law and how to comply with it.
So I know they violated something, Google and YouTube. Can you be specific as to what exactly they were violating?
Sure. In the commission's complaint against the companies, we allege that they had actual knowledge that there were child-directed channels on the YouTube platform, so channels that had video content that was intended for children, and that they were collecting personal information from the users of those channels without providing notice or obtaining verifiable parental consent as required by CAPA. And the personal information they were collecting were cookies, which are persistent identifiers or trackers that allow someone to follow users as they navigate the internet and visit different websites or use different services.
What is a kid? I mean, 13 down, is that what this is going to be protecting? Or is it 16 down or 17 and under?
CAPA defines child as anyone who's younger than 13. That's the age protected by CAPA. If you are collecting information from someone under 13 online, you know, depending on different factors, you may have to comply with the law.
Oh, what about those who aren't sure what their content is really under, but they just say, hey, you know, I'm just going to put myself under the umbrella of 18 plus. Would that be okay?
Not necessarily. If you're operating a website or you have an online service and you're collecting information from the users of that service, if you are child-directed, and that term is defined in the commission's CAPA rule, and we look at a variety of different factors to determine whether you're child-directed, and they're spelled out in our rule, but we look at things like the subject matter, visual content, whether you use animated characters, depict child-oriented activities, if you have evidence of the demographics of your audience, and you fall within the child-directed definition, then you have to assume that children are coming to your website or using your online service. And if you're collecting their personal information, you have to comply with the law.
The gray area that I can't help but to think, and it's because it's my hobbies, and I don't think of them as children hobbies. There are channels on YouTube that are dedicated to 80s toys or 80s cartoons, which that's a long time ago. So it's really for like the people who want to be a bit nostalgic about things. Oh, I remember the first, you know, series of Transformers that came out, or Care Bears, or the first series of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when it came out in the 80s and it was all gory and bloody. Are those channels, would those be under, like, for children then? Because it's kind of toys, but it's aimed for adults?
I'm not going to comment on specific hypotheticals like that. I can say that the considerations are laid out in our rule. Content creators should be aware of them and think about who their audience is. And of course, if you're not collecting personal information from your users or you meet one of the exceptions to the rule, then you don't have to comply.
So if you are not complying and you get fined, how much would it be?
The commission can obtain civil penalties under COPPA in the amount of, it's a little over $42,000 per violation.
Oof, that's a lot. If you're creating, you know, videos on YouTube and you mislabel your videos, would you be fined as the content creator or would YouTube be fined?
Our order requires YouTube to take a number of steps, including creating a system for content owners to designate whether their content that they're putting up on the platform is child-directed. And we would expect content creators, the channel owners, to be honest and to properly label their content.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Peter. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about COPPA?
Great question. The FTC has a variety of material on our website, ftc.gov. We have information about COPPA, how it operates. We have materials for businesses, a six-step guidance plan for how to comply with COPPA. And I just want to mention that we also have materials for parents about how to make sure that their kids are being safe when they're online, and suggestions on how to talk to them about things like disclosing personal information. And those materials are also available on our website.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.